Thank you to Dean also for switching with me. We went on vacation to Branson. First time I've been there in 24 years. Last time I went with my parents, this time I went with my parents. So, I normally don't take any place on vacation that I have to drive more than 3.5 to 4 hours. Mostly just because I drive when I'm working and I don't care to drive when I'm not working. This was eight hours. And of course now we have a van, so we've got all kinds of room, and everyone still slept on me. But it was a good trip. I went not expecting to really have a lot of fun, to be very honest with you. My mom and dad like Branson. My children like Branson. I didn't really think I would like Branson. I don't like all things country. I don't, you know, being a Munster, and to be very frank with you, I just thought it was going to be a bunch of people my mom and dad's age and a lot of little kids running around there, grandparents and grandpas. But it was different than that, and it turned out to be a lot of fun. And we saw a couple really good shows while we were there. I don't know, there's a lot of times I remember Danielle laughing, but I don't remember laughing as hard as one of the shows that we went to, and there was not a curse word, there wasn't a rude utterance, there wasn't even a negative reference made in any of the jokes that these guys were telling. They were just, it was just funny, and it was great to be around that. I think it was Thursday before I saw a beer sign. I'm in restaurants all day long, and I kind of look for different stuff. That surprised me. Usually you see something in a window or you see an ad. We didn't see a billboard, anything until Thursday, and it was just a little bitty sign in the corner of a restaurant window. So it was really different. And we don't drink and we don't stop in there. Whether you do or not, it's your own thing. But we don't, and it was just kind of nice to not have to worry about that. So I have a lot of sales meetings that I go to. In fact, I had one right before vacation. Sales meetings, if you don't know what they are, they're a lot of the company I work for telling us how great things are and how we work for the best place. And a lot of time is spent convincing the employees about how great things are. Now, it really is a good place to work. And I don't mean to belittle that. And probably a lot of places that you work are okay too. But a lot of time is spent giving you reference to why you want to be there and why you want to do a good job. We are told how many tools we have to do our job. How many tools we are given to do our job. The tools that no other place has. This is a constant encouragement given from those in the management above me, from the support staff that we have, a constant encouragement. I don't think I have ever been anyone that worried about the encouragement portion of it. I don't want to say that I'm egotistical, but evidently I am a little bit, in the fact that I don't need somebody to tell me how great things are to see it. I didn't think. I feel that I am a self-starter. I do what I do because I choose to do it. I don't get fired up because someone told me I should be. I don't do a lot of things because people tell me I should. Maybe that's a mistake, but that's how I've always thought I was. I decided recently, very recently, that really encouragement from any form is needed. And we all need it. I don't think that anyone out there does not need encouragement. I really didn't think I did. Very truthfully, I could care less about any awards I win. I worry more about having a house and food. There's guys that win things at the company, and they're great guys. And they do it very humbly, and it's good that they're winning. And that's fantastic, because it's a competitive business, and we do that. Encouragement is needed from everybody, for everybody in some form. What encouragement means is to give hope and confidence. And when you are new at a job, when you are new at anything, a new Christian, when you're new here, you need encouragement. Okay, you don't get up here by accident. You may have your plan in the back of your mind that, okay, I'll do this for a while, and then maybe you decide that you want to lead songs, you want to read a scripture, you want to pray, you want to come up and talk. Someone helped you in some way that gave you the confidence to do that. You know, when you're an athlete, the coaches are there to show you in practice. Your teammates are there to be with you so that you play the way you can play. All right? They're there, and some guys like to yell and get excited. Some guys like to go out and do without that yelling and excitement. They're still performing, they're still encouraging, but they're doing it by example instead of by verbal. Because I think I am a self-starter, because I am internally motivated, I don't always say what's on my mind. A lot of times, I just deal with the problems as they come up without discussing them with anybody. And I've, since I've been in sales, always said that I've been a person of forgiveness. It's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. So, knowing that, I usually just do it. I don't ask for help. I have found that no one stands alone very long. You may think you do, but no one stands alone very long. I had a large customer come on and thought things were going really well. This has been a while back, 4 or 5 years. I was brought into an office with my boss at that time, who I thought a lot of, and he said, are you getting all the help you need? I said, I think so. He said, you're not. He said, do you think you're covering it? I said, yeah, I think so. He said, you're not. That's what I always liked about him. He never held back. So I'm sitting in the little room at the office. He said, you need to ask for help. He said, we're here to help you. He said, and this is someone we've never had, and we need you to make sure you're getting the things to make your life easier. He said, if you're working until 2 o'clock every morning and getting up at 5 and starting over, he said, you're not using the tools that we gave you. He said, and you're going to be worthless by the time this year is done. You need to ask for help. That's the exact quote. Worthless. You're not. So that was his way of encouraging me to ask for help, which was the right thing. No one stands alone very long. In Colossians 2, 1 and 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Can we not be encouraged by ourselves? Isn't it possible to be encouraged alone? Can't you just stay home and study? Study's important. Isn't it important to know what you're doing? Know the Bible in and out? Can't you be encouraged sitting alone at home? In Malachi 2:6, they're talking about actually a priest here. And someone walking with the priest. As he walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. This is as they walk together. A lot of faith. You go to a priest and confess. That priest then grants you absolution. And then you go on. I think that's very individual. I think asking for forgiveness is something that you do on an individual basis. Unless it's public. Here they were walking in equity. I think that you need someone with you to encourage you. I think a lot of times you may say, I'm great, but somewhere in you, you're going to have a little doubt. Okay? You can be the most confident of anyone alive. step into a situation that's new to you or foreign to you, and while you still have this in the back of your mind that I'm going to go forward, it helps to have somebody step over and say, we're ready, right? I mean, no more than that. I mean, it can be very simple, but that's just a part of it. We need that help. We need that hand. You need someone with you or someone to talk to you, whoever it is, in any form to say once in a while, good job. Okay? I please don't after the service. I'm not looking for help here, so please don't. That's not what I'm doing. But every once in a while, you need after the service to have somebody, or after the service, after anything you do right, have someone come up and say, you did a good job. Very simple, you did a good job. You know, a lot of times we focus, and being in the car for 8 hours with my kids doesn't always bring out the best in me. I will tell you that it doesn't. Sometimes after 3 hours, it's about all I can take. But that doesn't mean I have rotten kids. That means I have normal kids that really are good kids. That's just the way they are. So when I am somewhere and my kids are being good and other people's aren't, that is encouragement to me, all right? And once in a while, it's good to see somebody else with the same problems. That's encouragement. Romans 1:12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. This is Paul speaking here. Paul is speaking about being encouraged together. Are you as faithful as Paul? If he needed encouragement, we need encouragement. I think that we need each other for strength. I've talked about being an individual. And I am very private in a lot of the things I do. I don't just broadcast my life to the world. My sister is the exact opposite of that. She doesn't mind telling you. I can't do that. It's just not in me. I keep those things to myself. You need someone for strength. Now, while she can do that, I really kind of dwell within yourself, is what I do, but you hold back. You need someone, a husband, wife, family, or friend, to help you gain that strength. You need strength while you do things. Colossians 2:2-3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do we ask for God's help? Do we pray, drive, sit, and ask for God's help? Because really, in all honesty, asking for help is where I fall down. I've always thought to be a pretty strong guy, but asking for help is where I fall down. And to admit that is really something else too. You need the help. Every once in a while we need help. Romans 5:3-5. Not only so, but when we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Now that's what Tyler read. Now if you've had problems in your life, and we all have had problems in your life, to be here is an accomplishment. Okay, because it's very, very easy to become withdrawn, taken aback, stepping into yourself to the place where your troubles overcome everything else. Now you may have felt this way, you may have not. There's been times that I have felt that I have been so welled up with things that I didn't see how church was going to help that. Okay. That's a long time ago. I didn't see how church was going to help that. But I've also been in things where we've had problems, and you see the people of the church come together. You see people come talk to you, maybe give you a boost when you don't know it, or when they don't know it, and just say something to really keep you coming back. That's a big part of it. That is a big part of it. When you are given help, you allow the things in you that are strong to come out. Someone giving you a helping hand to get over a wall may help you push a block out of your way. Somebody gives you that strength. Somebody saying something to encourage you gives you that one thing you need to step away from your trouble for that instant to get past it. To this point, I don't know of a lot of troubles other than something life-taking, life-changing, that wouldn't be a help. You know, if you have that person, and I really hope everyone in here has a person they can confide in, be it your mom, your dad, your friend, your wife, your brother, your sister, whatever it is. I hope someone has somebody they can talk to. Because if someone that knows, if you get too caught up in yourself, it is very easy to just block out everyone else and become somebody totally different than what you should be or who you should be. It is so easy to step back, go within yourself, and just not tell anybody anything. If you need help, ask for help. Step up and ask for help. Use the encouragement of the people in this building. Use the encouragement of people in another congregation, if that's what you need, to have help. Don't let yourself slip away. And take a look at yourself once in a while to make sure you're not. Because if you're not coming out with yourself, be you a private person or not. I'm not saying you need to come in here and tell every aspect of your life. I'll never be able to do that. Never. But to be able to come and give yourself to God, give yourself to these 2 hours that we're here on Sunday, an hour on Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday, whatever you do, you need to be able to do that. Release yourself while you're at church. If you can't release yourself while you're at church, that's when your problems are going to arise. Okay, you need to start enjoying being here. Because good Lord willing, these people are going to be with you when you're in heaven, praising God. If you can't be happy with them now, how can you think you're going to be happy with them later? If you're not happy praising God now, why would you think being in eternity with God would be what you need? We're commanded to come together every week. And I think that's part of the plan. God knew that everybody needs a little help. That we can't do it as humans alone. So we're commanded to come together at the first of every week to worship. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not when thou art converted. Strengthen thy brethren. In Luke here, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. Right before Peter denies him. And he's praying for him that he may have help. All these things are given to us so that we can look ahead, look sideways, look forwards, look up, look down, to find the help we need. We are here as a group to be able to call on each other in confidence, publicly, however it's needed to be done, that you'll be helped. I have a friend I talk to at work, and we talk about work stuff, and that's it. My wife is the one I confide in for everything. So to be in a place where I couldn't talk to my wife, or if I couldn't talk to my wife, would be a very, very difficult and lonely place to be. Because just talking to my buddy at work would be great, but it's not going to help me with where I spend the rest of my time. And I don't want to spend my whole life at work. All of this is to persevere, to get through. You know, the life and what we're given here can sometimes be fantastic. But we all know that to be a Christian is not to walk an easy road. It's just not. There's a lot of things, especially in your youth, now, that take you away from the church. Sin can be a very pleasurable thing. If it wasn't, people wouldn't get addicted to it. Sin is a short-term pleasure. It's something that happens quick. The people that get addicted to crack are looking for something that happens quick. I worked with one guy that has come back from that. And what he was looking for was just a few minutes away from his troubles, just to get away. And he said that drug, I don't know this, okay, I'm just going from what he said. That drug took him there. It got him out. Now, it got him so far out that he lost his family, 4 jobs. His family consisting of his wife and 3 children. And he has now been recovered or straight for 6 years. But he's been down that path. All right, so for somebody like that to stand here and tell you that it's pleasurable, it had to have been to suck him in, because he's a strong-willed guy. Really is. Strong enough will, we probably, when we're together, we argue more than anything else. But it's a happy argument. Just got fun for both of us. Youth is when it's very tough. It's easier for me now not to sin as much. I'm not saying I don't. But Lord knows that there's times. Being inverted or not, it's always my mouth that gets me into trouble. Always. And it will always be. Because if challenged, first instinct is to fight. And that's not really the way to do it. First instinct's to fight. I never thought of somebody to back down, and I try. I try. I sometimes get it accomplished, but not always. Youth is tough. It is hard to walk away from things that all your friends are doing, that all your, maybe even your family's doing, to leave. Just to walk out and leave it. Hardest thing ever. I still go to functions now. I always said I don't like public functions at work. We go to these public functions at work, and there's, you got to pay for sodas, but they give you the beer for free. So, and that's to the pleasure of most of those that work there. Well, I'm saying that, but you know, I don't want to be around it. It makes me nervous. So, if we go, it's because I feel obligated to be there. We go for a little while, and we leave before anything really takes off. In 2 Timothy 3:10-17, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things of which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which thou art able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for the reproof, for correction, for instruction, and for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We are here to see God. We're here to praise God, to worship God, to learn about God, and to eventually see God. That's the reason. Someday. Now, I talk a lot about being self-motivated, started, how you want to say that. Someday, we will stand alone. You will have no one to help you. You will stand alone. By yourself. And I think that time you're really going to understand the meaning of loneliness. As you stand before Christ, and He asked you why you did this. There is going to be that time. We're here now, so when we stand before Christ, I would like to think He'd be smiling and nodding during this time. All of my life has not been an example to live by. I like to think the last little while has been. And I want to think that once we get past that rough part, that this part's going to be pretty easy for God to say, okay, did all right there. And nod. Just like He's looking through your file, just like something's happening. We're going to stand alone before God. Are you going to be able to look Him in the eye and say, that was me. And I truly think I did it right. Because that's the position you want to be in. Job 1:21, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we have problems, when we have things come up, please have them. Be able to say that verse in your mind. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. There are big things that happen. Big things that we can't explain, justify, or anything else that make that the most difficult phrase to say ever. But if you can keep it in your mind and go through with that, knowing that God will be there for you as you go along and that He's seen it, you'll be better off. Now, it's at the end of each service we offer a gospel invitation. If you need a little bit of encouragement, if you need us to help you in any way, please come forward as we sing the last song.